This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Raj.
We are talking about whether or not there are pros and cons to censoring a streaming service. I think so far we've only managed to find one kind of pro when Arv was talking about political hate speech or something along those lines.
Racism.
Mm-hmm. That's perhaps the only time that you would choose to do something like that. And, you know, even then... it's a fine line between whether or not you should censor it or not and let people see it so that they can then make their own mind up about whether or not it is hate speech, whatever, you know. There's that kind of debate to be had as well, of course. We've asked for your opinions on this via WhatsApp and via Twitter. We'll go over to Twitter first. Arv.
Yeah, so this comes from Daniel, who says, there seems to be several parts to this debate. There's a fine line between censorship and propaganda slash human agenda. Is your moral standing so weak that you can be easily influenced by this negative content?
Good point.
And then there's one from Chief Thad who says, benefit, job creation, rent collection, downfall, rise of 1984. So nanny state.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then continuing the chronicles of Philip, the pirated VCD peddler. He also had the black plastic bag, not for sanitary pads, but porn VCDs.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Again, piracy and censorship. It's like it works like hand in hand.
Yeah. Which leads over to our WhatsApp messages.
Right. This is from Ro, who says, fact, porn sites attract more visitors each month than Amazon, Netflix and Twitter combined. So if you're censoring the latter, it's largely for language, violence and racial or religious sensitive content. And if that's the case, I suggest this simple principle. If you find it offensive, don't watch it. Don't shoot the messenger, which of course is the streaming service.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
There's another one here from Alvin Lum, who says, the reason I have not watched Joker is because of our joke of a censorship body in Malaysia. Unfortunately, I will probably end up being a pirate for this awesome movie.
Now, from what I understand, there wasn't an awful lot censored from it.
No.
But there was definite censorship in it. The one thing that the one movie that I did see that was censored quite heavily, what was the one with the woman who fell in love with a manfish? What was that one? Guillermo del Toro.
Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember watching that and going... it was chopped half to death, and I walked out of the cinema going, I have no idea what that supposed masterpiece was now about. And I have to find a different version of it so that I can watch it and understand why I am being treated like a child.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I felt.
Well, at least you had the option to go and find it somewhere else and watch it again, right? You know, unlike Zikri here, his complaint is censorship destroys the entertainment industry. Just look at wrestling. It used to be so good. But after they toned down the aggression and the language, everything turns to beep and the views are now dropping.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah, see? And they have no other option, you know.
They have no other option because they're catering to kids. So, you know, that's a...
But we know why they're catering to kids, because kids buy toys and toys make money.
Buy merchandise.
Vince
McMahon
is one of those people who needs a lot of money.
Right.
On to our next story. Funnily enough, it's all related. The streaming tsunami and how it will change how we make and consume content.
Yeah, so since we're talking about the pros and cons of censoring streaming services, I thought why not we talk about the pros and cons of streaming altogether, because there's a new article in the New York Times that perfectly explains how the streaming era is officially here and how it will change the way Hollywood makes content and how we consume content in the long run. This shift, they say, is as big... or it's going to be as big as silent films to talkies and then from broadcast TV to cable networks. It's that sort of a transition that we are going through. So to understand the good and bad of streaming, first we have to understand why streaming is so big in the first place, or why bigger players in the market sort of opted to go streaming. And this is interesting because the three big players in Hollywood, which are Disney, WarnerMedia and NBC Universal, did not want to enter the streaming market early on. They waited on the sidelines, even though Netflix was making money or coming out with content and stuff, because going into streaming would mean putting aside billions of dollars worth of profit from their cable channels into a platform that would bleed money for the first few years. So they didn't see the value in it. They only entered the market when they found out that people weren't glued to their TVs anymore. They wanted access to content anywhere and anytime. So these three big players didn't have a choice. Even Disney Plus, the only reason they are Disney Plus at this moment is because they just couldn't fight the way people were watching content on their phones and you know, consuming it on the PlayStations or media boxes and stuff. So they couldn't fight the trend, so they had to hop on it. The thing about Disney and Warner and NBC coming onto streaming is that they have massive libraries of content, hundreds of thousands of hours of content combined. Removing that content from cable TV means you're pretty much depleting the cable networks. And making sure people subscribe means pulling some new movies from cinemas and promoting it as online exclusives using big name stars. We've seen that happen. We spoke about Melissa McCarthy's new movie as well, Super Intelligent. But most of all, pulling their content from other rival players like Netflix means you have to have that studio's service to watch that studio's content. So if you have Netflix and you don't have Disney Plus, you cannot watch any Disney content. If you have Disney Plus, you don't have NBC Universal's Peacock, then you cannot watch any NBC content, and then you need Warner or HBO Max to watch like Warner content. So in other words, they've changed cable or kill cable by creating a broader, more fickle cable network combined or separate, like fragmented. So what I'll do now is I'll read out the effects of streaming wars or the streaming services, and I'll tell you, you tell me if it's a pro or con, because it's all actually very subjective. So I'll read out the top, you tell me if you think it's a pro or con. So Disney Plus costs about $6.99 in the US. When it gets here, it should cost about 30 ringgit. That's less than the price of a cinema ticket plus popcorn combo. So no petrol, no parking, no wear and tear, no extra time, you don't have to deal with other people. Pro or con?
Pro.
Because pro is people save money. That's the big thing. The con is less people at the cinema. So cinemas, they lose business. Less movies in cinemas means less movies made for cinemas. Means we get more stuff made for TV. Again, up to you if it's, you know, a pro or con.
He's such a spoil sport.
So the second one, by the end of next year, we'll have at least four major streaming services. Amazon, HBO, Disney, Netflix. Pro or con?
Technically a con.
Con.
Why?
Because there's too much choice, and sometimes you can be spoiled for choice. You end up having to spend more money than you really want to spend.
Also, FOMO.
Yes.
You know, if you only have Netflix and you only have Disney Plus, then, you know, what about the rest? And how do I get the rest?
Mm-hmm. You have to go and speak with whatever his name is that's carrying the VCDs around in the black plastic.
Philip.
Yeah. Buy from Philip. The pro is more content that we can possibly handle, we'll never be bored. And the con is more content that we can possibly handle, we'll always be bored.
Right.
Third one, most streaming services, except for Peacock, will not have advertising because we pay a subscription. Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro.
Mm-hmm. So we will have seamless content with zero ads. That's the pro. Con is content is structured around product placement and sudden Pepsi can showing up in scenes. We've seen that in Stranger Things. So you watch your program, but then all of a sudden something, some brand pops up, 7-Eleven, Pepsi, something in the US, and it takes you slightly away from the story itself because you have to focus on that product or make a scene around that product to sell it.
Oh, okay, Arv. I mean, we've been talking briefly today about a TV show called The Toys That Made Us.
Yes.
On Netflix, right? Yes. And it wasn't really until the first time that I saw that I realized how much of a marketing genius some of these toy sellers are. The very fact that these cartoons that I grew up watching as a child were not really just cartoons for the sake of entertainment. They were cartoons created to sell a product to kids.
Yeah.
As a kid, you don't realize that, you know? As a parent, you dread the next cartoon that's coming out for that particular demographic because you know they're going to want that toy. So the idea of product placement now is something that is so inbuilt into our culture that it's almost negligible, you know? It's to that point where, like, we don't care because, okay, yeah, they're driving around in a Mercedes car in the new Mission
Avengers
Impossible
or
Avengers or whatever. You're like, yeah, I'm used to that. I mean, you can play games with it at home now, you know? Let's play the product placement game. Oh, look, there's, you know, this. And oh, look, there's that. There you go. It's part and parcel.
How do you know the toys they made us is not product placement?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
You see, again, it's just selling that toy.
Yeah.
But the last one, the most interesting one or the biggest effect, writers and filmmakers are being hired like crazy. Studios are paying them hefty salaries to sign exclusive deals like Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones. Yeah. They got plucked by Netflix, millions of dollars. Abrams got signed with Warner. So more writers and creatives in Hollywood are finding work and being paid massive amounts. Pro or con?
Ooh, pro.
Con.
Why?
I know this because, you know, what happens when they cancel a season, like cancel a show like two seasons down? What happens then? Then you've got these producers and writers that are just scrambling for the next job.
And you've also got, I suppose, the audience that are like, why have you cancelled it after only two seasons? You know?
Yep.
But then they I have to find something else to fill in that FOMO. So those writers that have been fired or been let go have got something else to write on, perhaps.
So they have more platforms.
So they've got more
platforms, but they're being stretched thin by the streaming services because they have to churn out content like by the week. And also, streaming services own their content, which means that they can never be repurposed, never see syndication, other countries never be licensed. So the writers get hefty buyouts, but they don't get back-end commissions.
Interesting
stuff. Lots of pros and cons.
Lots of pros and cons. Mm-hmm. We should be talking about that on radio sometime.
Sure.
Did we just do that?
Why not?
Wow. Right, let's take a short break. Music coming up from Teenage Fan Club with Thin Air. Don't forget, we are talking about streaming services. Are there pros and cons, like Arv has just demonstrated, to censoring a streaming service? Do let us know. 018-789-8899 via WhatsApp for text messages only, please, or get us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.